We're talking about breakthrough today, and we started last week looking at a king who had a big challenge. Some of you, I believe, have big challenges in front of you, and some of you feel like you have your back up against the wall, and I believe that this message is going to be a huge encouragement to you. Please pay attention to the scriptures that I use, because one of the things that we that is a pillar of our church is the Word of God is our final authority. I'm not coming to you. I don't know who this is for, who needs to hear this, but please listen. I'm not coming to you in my authority. I'm not coming to you in my wisdom. I'm not smart enough to tell you how to get out of your mess. But I do believe in a real God. You know, it's so much, you say, Pastor, you need a lot of faith to believe in an invisible God. No, you need a lot of faith to believe, you know what, that out of nothing came everything. And no reason for it. That order would come out of chaos. That is unbelievable. You want me to tell you what's unbelievable? Darwinism is unbelievable. And I would even say, if you're going to be honest, it's very unscientific. Anybody who knows anything about physics knows that you don't get order out of disorder. Things don't move from disorder to order. How do they move? Those of you who know laws of physics, how do they move? They move from order to what? To disorder. You don't believe me? Just go home and look at your garage and you'll understand. Amen. Amen. That is a good example. Okay, let me give you another example. You know what? And this is important that we understand, because sometimes we get defensive. We think that we, as society mocks us and belittles us. You know what? The society thinks we're the uneducated. No. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you what's crazy. Let me tell you what's uneducated. For me to sit there and on that bench with a Coke can, and believing that someday that Coke can is going to become a cell tower. No, let me tell you what's illogical. Let me tell you what's unscientific. For me to think that someday that Coke can, you know what, is going to become a cell tower. You know what? Well, sure, it could. You know what? If you gave that Coke can enough years, it eventually would become. That is absolutely ridiculous. And the truth is, these people should be laughed out of the universities instead of, you know what, them up there teaching in the universities. I say all that as a basis to tell you, I'm not coming to you with my own authority. I'm coming to you in the authority of the Word of God. Amen. And I'm going to teach you the Word of God, and I'm going to show you how one man who has his back up against the wall is going to be able to get out of his problems. He's going to be able to get out of his mess. And let me tell you what, that's not a respecter of persons. You know what I mean? He did it for him, he'll do it for you. But there's principles that we can learn, that we can apply on this earth. Why do you think Jesus came? You say, well, Jesus came to ultimately die on the cross to take our sins on him, that we could be sinless and live with the Heavenly Father forever. Amen. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. But how many also know that he not only came to die on a cross, raised from the dead, and take his sin upon us, or take our sin upon him, he not only came for that, but he also came to show us who God was. And to teach us the will of God in our life. And to teach us how to walk in the power of God. Having know we're called to be followers of Jesus. So followers of Jesus learn what he did, and we implement what he did. And if we do, we'll walk in the victory that God calls us to walk for in. There is an abundance that God has for us. Look at Jesus. Jesus walked in abundance in every place that he went. And wherever there was a insufficiency, he was able to meet that sufficiency. That insufficiency became a overflow. That is who God is. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He said it, John said it like this in John 10:10. He said, I've come to give you life, watch this, and life more abundantly. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to have an abundance in your life. You say, no, Pastor. No. What he's talking about, and you say, no, Pastor, what he's talking about there is that when we get to heaven, we're going to have abundance. Listen, let me tell you what. When we get to heaven, we are going to have abundance. But that is bad hermeneutics. That's a bad exegete of that passage. And how many know sometimes we take our preconceived notions and we put them into the Word of God. When Jesus said in John 10, he said, you know what, I've come to give you a life and life more abundantly. One version said, I've come to give you a life to the full. You know what I mean? What's he talking about? He's not talking about when you die and go to heaven. He's talking about now, that there is a reality that you can walk in the abundance of God right now. Amen. 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 And that's reality, and that's the truth, and that's what Jesus taught. And not only did he teach that, but he also showed us that. You read it in Matthew, you read it in Mark, you read it in Luke, you read it in John. Matter of fact, what you can't find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or John, what you can't find in any pages of the New Testament, you know what, in the life of Jesus, is a lack. It's just not there. Not in Jesus' life. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but the people who understood that, you know what, would say to Jesus, Jesus, you don't even have to go over to my house. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed. Amen. And Jesus didn't stop and go, oh, what is this? You're only supposed to act like that when you get to heaven. Jesus never said that. Jesus stopped and he said, whoa, let me tell you, whoa. He stopped. I taught this to you. He stopped. Read it. He stopped. At that point in time, he stopped and he said, you know, hold the phone. Wait a minute. Not literally, he didn't say, hold the phone. But he said, wait a minute. And then he turns to his apostles, and he teaches them what just happened. He wants to have a coaching moment. Amen. And he's saying, hey, guys, you know what? This guy is acting the way I want you guys to act. And I haven't seen this in all the religious, all Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a hub for the most religious people. And he's saying, you guys are religious, but you guys don't understand the power of God to function, listen to me, to function in this earth. And that's what Jesus came for. Not only to die on a cross, but also to show you and I that we could function in a supernatural power where we could tap into it and our insufficiencies would become sufficient. Some of you have your back up against a wall and you feel like, you know what, Pastor, I just don't know how I'm going to get out. Well, thank God you're here today. Amen. Because we started last week, but I'm going to continue to show you some things that will be critical. How many know it's so important for us to apply the Word of God? James says, you're going to be blessed in what you do. So I thank God that you're here. But what I want you to pay close attention to today is the practical applications of what, you know what, this king did to get out of his mess. Now, let's do a little bit of review real quick. Somebody say review.
Review.
Okay. And what we saw last week, we saw the mess that this guy was in. Let's start it off by Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 says, "And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Amorites came to the battle against Jehoshaphat." Next verse. Oh, next verse is me. Sorry. "Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea." The army was fierce, and there were so many of them that the Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared. And what we said last week, it was my first point last week, it's that this focus on God, not the problem. We spend so much time focusing on the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. And what we learned last week is we don't need to focus on the problem. What Jehoshaphat did is he, you know what, look what he did. He focused, that's not it. Where did I want to go? What did he do? That's what he did. Give me a second. Jehoshaphat, he did fear. See, listen to me. Fear is not the absence of courage. It's not. To be courageous sometimes is to fear, but put your trust in God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Jehoshaphat did fear. But in that time of fear, you know what? You've got to make good choices. That's why training is so, so, so critical. You know why they train pilots and they just train them over and over and over again, same thing over and over again? Because when you get your back up against the wall, when you get in a situation, you better do the right thing. How many know it's critical? You know what? They do studies of plane crashes and all kinds of things. The Titanic, had they made some different choices, you know what, the Titanic wouldn't have been the famous, you know, failure that it was. How many know this is true? So what I'm telling you is, I'm not saying, listen, we looked at it last week, we said, hey, storms are going to come. The question isn't, are storms going to come or are they not going to come? Jesus said, the storm's going to come. The question is your house going to stand or is it not going to stand? That's the question, because the storm comes to everyone. The question is, do you do what it takes to make your house substantial that when the storm comes, you know what, instead of the storm crumbling your house, you know what, all your house is just a place for you to have some cocoa, hot chocolate, and sit by the fire and look out and say, man, isn't this a wonderful thing? Does this make sense? This is all review. We talked about it last week. But it's important that we understand that in review, that Joseph, say review is the motor of learning. We have to remember that what Joseph did was even though he feared, he set himself to seek, all eyes up here, he set himself to seek the Lord. Absolutely critical. And what do you need to do? You know what I mean? See, sometimes what we do, you know what, when Tyler walked in, you've heard the story several times, most of you, but there was a time, you know what, that I walked in, you know what, Tyler was just a small child, you know, probably 1 year old, and I walked into his room, I heard him gasping for breath, and when I saw him, he was absolutely, his color was blue. How many know you better do the right thing at that point in time? And I scooped him up in my arms, and I ran to a Christian. Tamara wasn't home. If Tamara was home, I would have, you know what, we would have come in agreement right away. Before you called 911, guys, my son's blue. What's 911 going to do? How long are they going to come? Listen, we've got to understand. If you got to understand this in your life, many times we're going to the wrong sources. We're going here and going here and going. No. We need to turn to God. God is our answer. And that's what the reason why Jehoshaphat, we'll probably look at it next week, is going to walk in victory is because he made the right choice in the midst of fear. Amen. I'm not saying that you are not going to fear. I'm saying that in the midst of fear, you better choose God. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He turned towards God and he made the right choice. Amen? Yeah. But I want to talk about this today. My second point, we didn't get to it, or we just started to get to it last week, is to remind ourselves, when you get your back up against the wall, what you have to do, number one, you have to not look at your problem, turn to God. Number two, you have to remind yourself that you can't do this. And you have to ask God for help. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that a haughty spirit, you know what, what does it say? Haughty spirit is... Anyway, I'll paraphrase it. You're going to be jacked up if you get prideful. Amen? Yeah, that's the second part. I don't know why. I'll get it. When I remember it, I'll tell you. Anyway, you know what? The reality is we get prideful. You know what? Pride comes before a fall. There you go. Oh, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Before destruction, this haughty spirit. I'm good. I got it. You don't got it. The only reason you think you got it, I am smiling, right? Carol, I'm smiling, right? The only reason why you think you got it is because of your pride. Remember what the Beatles, you know, the great theologians, you know what? The Beatles, remember what they said? You know what? When I was younger, so much younger than today, never needed anybody's what? Help in any way. But now I understand. I've gotten old enough. How many old enough to recognize you ain't that bad? Amen? I'm asking you, how many old enough to recognize you're not that bad? How many old enough to recognize you're not that smart? How many recognize, oh my goodness, I need help? And let me tell you what, that's not a bad thing. That is a great thing. Because what you do when you cry out to God is you position yourself for God's help. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I like what John Maxwell said. John Maxwell said this: if you can accomplish your dreams by yourself, your dreams are too small. If you can accomplish your dreams by yourself, your dreams are too small. I like what this guy said. He said this: God helps those who help themselves. Can I tell you what? That's not even in the Bible. Oh, yes, praise God. God helps those who help them. Not in the Bible. Amen. But what does the Bible say? But watch this. But not even in the Bible. But God does help those who ask for his help. How many of you, that's absolutely true. That God will help those who ask for his help. Look at what Jehoshaphat says. Oh, our God. I like how he says, oh, our God. Hey, guys. This is not some God far away. This is not some God who doesn't understand you, doesn't understand what you're going with. This is our Father, amen? Yeah. You got a problem? Hey, listen, understand, God is our friend. God is our loving Heavenly Father. He wants to help you. And Jehoshaphat says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude. There's times, and it's so wise for you. Matter of fact, you should be quick to go, I don't know how to get out of this mess. Why? Because the quickness to say, I can't get out of this mess, is the smartness that allows you to turn to God. You know, some people, God is the last resort. And after they spend all this wasted time, listen, some people, years and years and years of their life trying to figure it out. Let me give you a great example. The Bible is very clear. It says, you know what? God says this. God says, don't be unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. Okay. If this is you, if you've run this out, just give me your best poker face, because there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. How many know we've all made some crazy errors in our life? But sometimes, you know what? The cool cat guy, and you know what? He's got the cool hair, and he's got the car with spinners, and you know what? And he's you know, on the basketball team or whatever. Right? Right? You know what? He's got the cool, you know what, boom box. You know what I mean? I cracked up the other day. I probably told you this. You know what? How many ever drive next to a car and you hear the bass? It just rumbles. And it's rumbling your car. You think, man, what is it doing to that? I laughed so hard because the other day I drove up next to, not a car, I drove up next to a motorcycle. Amen? And it was just, I thought, how in the world do you got that boombox in that motorcycle? It was so funny. Anyway, here's my point. My point is that many times, you know what? Listen, and this happened to ladies and this has happened to men. But you get deceived. You know what? With the ooh la la, with the oh baby, you know, you're so fine. You know what? You know what? Well, you might think I'm fine, but I think you are a... Pastor, you shouldn't say that. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen. You better, you know what? When you're dating, you better make some smart choices, guys. And one of the things that God says is don't be unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. And he's all ooh la la, and he might come to church with you every once in a while if you beg him, and you know what, boom, boom, boom. But you know what? As soon as you get married, you know, guess what? You know what? The NFL becomes his God. And listen to me. And here's the problem. And then you're gonna have a kid with this guy, and you know what? And what's the kid gonna see? This kid's going to fall in with the NFL. And as soon as he can, listen, ladies, you can drag your 5-year-old to church, but as soon as he gets 13, he's staying home with dad. And the Bible told you the whole time what his will was. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, what we have to recognize is we can't lean unto our own understanding. We have to come to the fact and say, no, whether it's relationships, whether it's money, whether it's finances. Amen. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Mm. You know, it's interesting sometimes, you know what, how we justify doing what we want to do. You know, the Bible is very clear to bring that the tithe doesn't belong to you. And I know people that have been very faithful to tithe. But when they sell their home, that tithe ain't coming in here. See, can you write a, I'm just asking, can you write a, can, some people can write a tithe for, let's say maybe they're making $400 a week. They can faithfully write a tithe for, and write a tithe check for $40. They can do that faithfully. But, you know what? When it comes to, you know what? What if you're making $4,000 a week? How many would like to make $4,000 a week? Come on, now I get some response. How many would like to make $4,000 a week? Hallelujah. Well, listen. Can God trust you? You know what? If you can't write that check for $40, what in the world? How in the world is he supposed to trust you with that other thing? I listened to a testimony of a lady this week. Wonderful testimony. You know what? And she, you know what? She was testifying that she worked for a company and she made $266, you know what? or something like that. And she was so faithful to the tithe. She brought it into the church. She was so faithful to do it. What kind of tithe check is that? How much? $28. $28. She wrote that $28 every single week. $28. $28. She was so faithful. She loved it. She was happy. And then she got into real estate, and she started walking in the blessing, and her tithe check kept on going up. And then she made a commission of, I forget exactly what the testimony was, but it was a substantial. She made a $400,000 commission. How much is the tithe check on a $400,000 commission? Smart. $40,000. And as she was writing that check for $40,000, she started to think, man, listen, she started thinking, man, I wonder what the church is doing with this money. She says she never had that thought on that $28 check. Never had that child. Always trusted her pastor. Always trusted the church. She saw all the cool things that were going on. Can I tell you what? The church was doing the same thing the church was doing when she was writing that check for $28. They were ministering and using that for the community and to spread the gospel. That's what they were doing. Nothing had changed. But I tell you what. You know what? Satan will get all in your mind and start figuring out. And the Holy Spirit told her. He said, well, you know what? You were so faithful with that check for $28. You know what? Maybe we should go back to that position and we can get you tithing again with a happy heart. How many know we justify all kinds of things on what we're going to do? Amen? And you know what it is? It's pride. Here's what I'm telling you what. Whether it's who you're dating, whether it's your finances, for some of you, you know what? You have held grudges for years. And the Holy Spirit has said, you need to knock it off. You need to lay that down. You need to forgive that person. Yeah, but they didn't. That's a bunch of justification. The Bible doesn't say forgive people when they act the way you want them to act. The Bible says, you know what? That you are to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How many have ever done anything wrong and somebody has forgiven you? Okay. The Bible says, then you know what you're to do? How many liked that when that happened? They forgive. And I mean, how many ever, you don't have to raise it. How many ever really screwed somebody over big time? And no matter what, they still forgave you for it. You did something that was just wrong and they just forgave. How many ever had somebody forgive them for something that was really, really, see, some of you aren't raising your hands, but you should raise your hands anyway. Because Jesus did it for you, amen. So, but I've had people forgive me for things that were absolutely wrong. And it was so gracious to me. The Bible says, you know what, that's how you ought to act towards other people. So whether it's writing a check, you know what, whether to building the kingdom of God, whether it's, who you are dating, you know what, maybe somebody in the room needs to break up with someone. I never. You know what? I'm trying to save you from heartache. And you can kung fu grip that boyfriend if you want. But you know what? But I've got some 1970 advice for you. You know what? Slip out the back, Jack. Maybe for some of you, it's simply just walking in forgiveness with someone who you haven't forgiven. And God says, no. Get your eyes upon me. Let me direct your path. But our eyes are upon you. Some of you, you know what? I'm telling you what, you gotta tithe by faith. You know what? You got to forgive by faith. You got to date by faith. You know what I mean? And dating by faith isn't going out with some, you know what, bozo. Ooh, God, I hope you'll save him. You know what I mean? No! No, it's listening to the word of God and following what God says. Is this making sense to anybody? Am I speaking to anybody? I said, am I speaking to anybody? Yeah. I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Asking it will be given to you. Seeking you'll find. Knocking the door will be open. God, help me. What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful prayer. God, help me. The help is available for you. And Jehoshaphat recognized that. Okay. Third point is this. Watch this. Remind God what He has promised you. See, now we get our religious caps on. Here, do this. I do this sometimes. Take your religious cap. Okay. Come on, everybody. Put your take it off. What am I saying? I'm about to say something that, you know what? If you keep that religious cap off, you're not going to listen. Listen to what God says. And what we have to do is we have to remind God of what He has promised you. God has promised you something. And He has no problem. You know what? He has no problem, you know what, with you qualifying that and saying, God, you said to me. You've done this in the past. You did that for this person. You did that for that person. And you said in your word that you weren't a respecter of persons. So God, I'm asking for that. Amen. You want me to show it to you in scripture? It's what Jehoshaphat did. Watch this. This is such an awesome passage. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 7. Look what Jehoshaphat says. He's got his back up against the wall. He's setting his sights towards God. He recognizes how much he needs help, and he says this to God. Are you not our God? God, whose side are you on? You're our God, right? What's God say to that? Yes. What's he doing? He's putting God in remembrance of who he is. And we think God is offended for that. He's not offended for that. Amen. Watch this. If God was offended for that, I'll get to the end of the story. You know what? God delivers, you know what, Jehoshaphat, with a mighty hand. When you get home, read the whole chapter. You know what? There's no chastisement towards this guy. Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? God, I know who you are. Amen. I know whose land this is. This is our land. And you have promised it to us. And you've given us those promises. You told us to teach this to our kids as we're raising up, as we come and we go and we sit down, to tell them about the great exploits that God delivered the Israelites with a mighty hand. That's who you are. God, you're our God. God has no problem defending himself. And you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to step up to the plate and say, that's who our God is. God, you're my God. And you will go before me and make the crooked path straight. In the name of Jesus, thank you. You're not a respecter of persons. You did it for them, and you're going to do it for me. Thank you, God. Got no problem doing that. How many know God loves when we brag about him? Over and over and over. Over and over in the New Testament, it will say that they worshiped God, saying. And the next thing out of their mouth was this. Listen, they worship God, saying. They're not going to sing a song. You know what they said? You know what? God, you'll deliver me. You will heal me of this disease. And they would ask God to deliver them from leprosy. You know what? You know what the writers of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John called that? They saw it for what it was. You know what they called that? Worship. They called it worship. When you and I say, God, you are on my side. I know your character. And you are the God that heals me. You are the God who delivers me. You are the God who rescues me. You are the God who goes before me and makes a crooked path straight. Let me tell you what. God has no problem with that. God will not chastise you. God will promote you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Isaiah says, Isaiah says, you know what? God says, you know what? Put me in remembrance. God has no problem, you know what, when we put him in remembrance. Point number four. Point number four. Ask God for what you want and be specific. I said, ask God for what you want and be specific. Somebody say, be specific. Okay, what am I talking about? How many know a non-specific prayer is a safe prayer, but it's a non-effective prayer? Somebody write that down. A generic prayer, a non-specific prayer. Yeah, what did I say? That was good. I'll get it. Is a safe prayer, but it's a non-effective prayer. And I would even argue that point. You don't have to write any of this down. But I would say it's not safe either. But you'll get the point. Here's my point. My point is, if you come up to be healed, and I say something generic to you, you know, something, God, so you're coming up and you specifically want me to pray for your knee, you know what, and I just say, Father, just bless this person in the name of Jesus. I just thank you that they're going to have a great week. How many know that's just generic? God is looking for specific prayers. God is looking for you to call. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, here's what she said. She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I am going to be healed. And then when she came up, she was purposeful. Here's the thing. God, write this down. God wants you to be purposeful. A specific prayer is a purposeful prayer. It's a faith prayer. That woman with issue blood went up and said, said before, how do we know she said that? Because the writer in the Bible says, she said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And when she touched the hem of his garment, you know what? She was healed. And then Jesus was like, who touched me? And the apostles were like, oh, God. You know what? How many know we do this sometimes? We think God says stupid things. Yeah, you won't raise your hand. But we do. We think God says stupid things. That's what they thought. They thought, oh, you know, Jesus said something stupid. You know what I mean? Can I tell you what? God will never tell you something stupid. Never. You know what? You know, like, who do you mean who touched you? There's all these people around you. There are all kind of people touching me. He said, no, someone called upon my power. I felt power leave me. Somebody made a demand on my power. Who was that? Me? I did. Like Jesus didn't know who did that. What's my point? My point is, when you say a specific, she said specifically, when I do this, this is what's going to happen. See, there's something that God loves when you will make a demand on his power. And it's not generic, where, you know what, it doesn't make any difference. You know what, you have a good chili dog that day. And you know what, you know what I mean, your knee still hurts, but you know, you have a good chili dog. Oh, man, look, you know what, I went to Derwiener Central, and look, usually they only give me a little chili, but today they gave me a lot. Yeah. I'm blessed today. And I'm not mocking, you know what. Listen, how many know sometimes that is a blessing to get a little bit more chili on your dog? But what I'm saying is, you know what? No. You know what? You understand that God is not a man that he can lie. You have the integrity to say, no. I'm going to pray for a specific prayer. That's what Jehoshaphat did. You know what? He said something very, very specific. Watch this. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are. Reward us. You see the specificness?
Yes.
Reward us by coming to throw, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possessions, which you have given us an inheritance. Very, very specific. And then he says, and we quoted this earlier, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against a great multitude coming up against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. It's a very specific thing. God, you are going to deliver us from this mess.
Amen.
We see this throughout the Word of God. The man, I forget if I quoted already this service or the last service, but the man who says, you know what? But I'll use this example because there's all kinds of examples that I could use. I could use the example that the guy who is shouting for healing, he is blind. How many know, thank God this guy doesn't ask, God, just make me a house that I can get around in better. See, how many know sometimes, you know what, God is willing to answer our prayer, but sometimes, you know what, we just take plan B. We just come up with our own thing of instead of just going for it. Amen? He doesn't ask for a home he doesn't ask for the books in. He doesn't ask for a Braille Bible. You know what I mean? Not that they made Braille there. That was a joke. But anyway, he doesn't ask for a Braille Bible. You know what? He says, God, let me tell you what I want. And before he says that, you know, there's these people trying to shut him down. Let me tell you what, when you are out there, you know what? People will try to shut you down. They try to tell you, oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. Oh, you better not do that. You know what I mean? They try to give you wisdom. Can I give you wisdom? Don't listen to people who don't know the Word of God. That's wisdom. Amen. Don't listen to those people. Why? Not because they're not because they don't not because there's no malice. How many of you don't, I'm sorry. How many of you don't have to have any malice to be stupid? I'm just trying to connect with someone. And you need to recognize, no, this is not wisdom. The Bible talks in James about wisdom coming that isn't wisdom from above. It's not wisdom from above. And yet we're going to listen to them, but we're going to go in there. No, stop listening to them. They don't know what's going on. Is this making sense? You can remind God of what he's promised. You can ask God for what you want, and you can be specific. What's that guy do? They're trying to shout him down, trying to, no, be quiet. You know what? And the Bible says, he shouted all the louder.
Yes. Amen.
Sometimes guys, how many know we live on this earth, but we wrestle with flesh. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. There's this battle taking place in our life. Sometimes you got to shout. Sometimes you got to stand up there and say, no! I won't date you. I'm not saying that you would shout that to that person. I'm saying you got to get that in. Or maybe that is appropriate. I don't know. But what I'm saying, sometimes you got to recognize, no, this is right. You know, it happens all the time. You know, this morning I was sensing something that all kinds of people could say, no, that's the wrong move. They could even say, no, that it's not a Christian move. You know what? And I sense it. And the more steps I took, the more I recognized, no, I know what to do. I'm going to do this. And I told this person, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And that is the right move. And here's what I said. I said, you know what? It is always right to be obedient to God. I don't care what anybody says. And you know what? And I had the peace of God. You know what? I'm just like, And it took me a while to get there. You know what I mean? I mean, no, you know what? I don't know everything. I'm trying to figure things out myself. But it's always right to do what the will of God says. And to pray specifically. So that guy gets, you know, all kinds of people tell him to be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. You know what? But you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, hey, that guy way back there, tell him to come here. And I've said this before, but because I believe it, I think he just kind of. Jesus wants to talk to me. Can I tell you what? Jesus wants to talk to you. And when you'll have that boldness, when you'll, can I tell you where that's coming from? That's coming from inside. And all kinds of people want to suppress that boldness. The Holy Spirit is a bold spirit. Amen. I didn't say he's a rude spirit, but he is a bold spirit. And he will go, listen, when you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, you're going to swim upstream. There are going to be all kinds of people. And as you're swimming upstream, where are they swimming? They're swimming downstream. But, you know, for some reason, these little fishies want to give you advice as they swim by you. Amen? And they want to tell you how silly you are for going in the direction you're going. Well, let me remind you. The Bible says, no, the masses are going to destruction. Amen? 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 But God has got a calling on your life. And you've got to be obedient to what he's called you to do. So, you know what? So ask for what you want. Be specific. What did he say? He said, you know what? He didn't ask for a Braille Bible. Here's what he asked. He said, you know what I want? You know what I want? I want to see. You think that wasn't counterintuitive to all kinds of things going on in his mind? Listen to me. I don't know who this is for. One of the reasons why this church is so valuable is because this pastor believes that this is true. I don't mean that in some, that sounded so arrogant. I don't mean that in an arrogance. I mean that I believe that Jesus will is that blind people would see. So how do you know that? Because Jesus is God. And he was there showing us the will of God. Because 3 John says, my will is that you be in health and be prosperous. Amen. Yeah. And you can give me every example of your friend who prayed and they loved God with all their heart. And God took them at 34. And I got examples of that too. But I'm telling you what I see isn't going to defer what I know.
That's good.
Listen to me. Be real detailed in here. If you allow that circumstances, of which, can I be honest, you really have no idea details. You think you do, but you really don't. If you let that dictate what you know, you are walking by sight, not by faith. And the Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith. Here's what I know. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But the word of God will never pass away. You think this earth is so substantial? God's going to wipe out this whole earth. He's going to make a new heavens and new earth. You know the Bible says that? But his word ain't going to pass away. His word is what you can rely on. And if we, as Bible-believing Christians, would get a hold of this, we'd walk in the supernatural power of God. And you say, well, when is that going to happen? Well, listen, it's happening now to some extent. I get a little annoyed with the people who get annoyed that the power of God's not happening. Amen? Because I see the power of God happening all over the place. Amen? Amen? And listen, and I understand a willingness to want it to happen more. I want it to happen more too. But I recognize, you know what? You know, if you feel like your sight is losing, what should you do? Well, don't stand there back there and complain that your sight is losing. Grab the rope and start pulling tug of war towards this way. Amen? Does that make sense? I mean, who's got time to complain? Amen? I said, who's got time to complain? I mean, ooh, look, the ship's going down. The ship's going down. The ship's going. Could you grab a bucket and start bailing? Amen? Be part of the solution, not just part of the problem. And part of the solution is start to trust God and pray specific prayers for what you want. That's what Jehoshaphat wanted. He wanted God to deliver him from this mess, and that's exactly what God did. Exactly what God did. You know what he did? I'll just tell you then. You know what he did? He, you know what? They all, you know what? All the enemies fought each other. And they show up, and they're like, what do we do? They're all dead. Well, I don't know what I'd do, but you know what? But what I think you should do is take the Rolodex. Amen? Rolodex? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Rolodex is one of those old-timey thing with the phone numbers on it. Okay? Yeah, yeah. Take the Rolex. That's what I meant to say. You know the Bible says that they spent 3 days. How many would like 3 days to take, you know what, dead people's stuff? Some are like, that don't make sense. Listen, these were the enemies of God. They were going to go take the land of God. God says, no, 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 they're all dead. I already took care of it. Now you go take their stuff. Amen. Now, before you freak out on that, can I tell you what? See, can I tell you this? Is because I could tell some of you just, you know, some of you were like, you know what? You ever played pinball this old time? And if you whacked it too hard, you know, the whole thing would just tilt and the whole game was over. You know, some of you, I said something and it was just so unreligious that you just tilted. You know, I could tell some of you just, I don't even know what he said right there. I don't even think I can receive that. So to help to get you on off tilt, can I tell you what? Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Covenant isn't fair. Here, let me help you understand this. Let me help you understand this. You know what? You know what? Johnny and Becky and Sally and Sue, you know what? Come to my front door. And they're upset because Tyler got more for Christmas than they did. I'll look at Sally and Sue and Becky and whoever's at my door. I'm all like, hey, go to your daddy. You ain't my kid, amen? Of course Tyler got more than, of course I gave Tyler more. He's part of my family. Can I tell you what? You're part of God's family, amen? It's, you know what? And it's time for us to understand that's who it was. These are covenant people, amen? And uncovenant people are coming to invade them. And God says, no, you will not invade them. He wipes them all out. And then he says, now you go plunder their goods. The Bible says, let me just quote the Bible to you. For those of you who get upset, think God is unfair. I'm telling you, he is unfair. He is unfair. It's tipped towards his family. Amen. Because he's a covenant God. Amen. Now, here's a good thing before you get all upset with God. Just know, anybody can get in his covenant. Amen. And it's God who says, I'll give you. Listen, let me tell you what. What's covenant? Covenant is what they would do is two tribes would make covenant together because the one tribe was all smart. They had all the brainiacs, you know what I mean? Had all the pins in their pockets, you know what I mean? And the other guys, you know what? They were all the macho farmers, you know what I mean? The problem is the computer guys had nothing to eat. You know what? And the farmers, you know, the big hulky guys, you know what? They couldn't figure out how to work their iPad. Right? So they make covenant together, and now, you know what, the brainiacs, you know what, get some good food, and you know what, and now the, you know, the macho guys, they get to be able to get on a computer. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, why would God covenant with me? Because I don't got nothing. That's a great question. And here's my answer. This is deep. You ready? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. David wrestled with that. He said, who is man that God's mindful of us? I don't know. But can I tell you what? Here's what I do know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's what I know. That anybody who wants a covenant can come into the family of God. And guess what? Now what do I get? That's what Jehoshaphat got. He got the power of God because he was in covenant with God. Did you learn something today? How many glad you came today?
So much of this stems from us not knowing who our God is and not... We just need to secure that and settle that. It's interesting. You ever heard anyone say, well, I'm at such and such church, you know, but I'm just not getting fed. Now listen, it's interesting because Jesus said that we're to have daily bread. Does anyone know a church that's meeting daily? So if you're not getting fed, what might that tell you? What do you think that tells me about that individual right away? They're probably not in the Word. They're probably not taking responsibility, you know what, for their relationship with God. They don't know their Bible. Now, if a church is not teaching the Word of God, that's a whole nother ballgame. I get that, right? But if you're in a church that's teaching the Word of God, uncompromised, even then, that's a reason to leave a church is not because you're not getting fed. A reason to leave his church is because, oh my goodness, what they're saying and what I'm reading daily is not matching up. So, do you see the difference? Same thing Pastor Drew alluded to it. It's like, I'm not, you know what, he said, I don't know what his exact words were. I get frustrated with Christians who get frustrated that we're not seeing the power of God. Whose responsibility is it to bring the power? Individual. Yeah, God has chosen to work through man. That's each one of our individual responsibilities. That's not one person's responsibility. The church's role is to make disciples. Disciples go out and do the work of the kingdom. Do you see it? So if you have a believer who's kind of frustrated because we're not seeing the power, look in the mirror. What you gonna do about it? Don't be frustrated with it. Get on the solution side of that because you're going to answer for it when you see the Lord because you have a part in it, right? Listen to the things, a couple of these scriptures and that Pastor hit on today. Oh, listen to this. This one's in John 16:24. Ask in my name according to my will, and he will most certainly give it to you, and your joy will be like a river overflowing. Amen. Here's another one in 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that we have what we ask, and we know that he hears us. If we understand, Why do we? Well, yeah, but I prayed for, you know, a super duper mansion and I never got it. So that scripture doesn't work. Ask. There was some details there. Did you hear it? How are we supposed to ask? According to his will. So where this comes out a lot of times is in our healing covenant that we have with the Lord. And we have a healing covenant. We have a health covenant also, by the way. So it comes out in that area a lot, like we've all probably bumped into that somewhere, right? We can settle it really quick. See, we can ask with that strong confidence. You know why we can ask with that strong confidence? Because you're not going to find in your Bible where Jesus said, nope, not you, nope, not you. You're not going to find that. So if I'm seeking my health or a healing, can I confidently ask that according to his will? Of course I can. We see that in the Word of God so clearly. But we're so surrounded with circumstances of our situations and other people's situations. But here's what we need to be sure that we do. Don't ever exalt anybody's words. And here's why we do it. We go to, listen, if someone has a PhD, they has their doctorate, does that give them the right to declare over me something different than what God declares over me? Well, the answer is, if I give them that right. Right? If somebody, you know what, who is connected to me in my life wants to declare over me, you know people, I'm not even going to, you know, some of it, it's us. Some of it, it's people that we know. You know what? Where they say, you know what? You're not going to amount to anything. You're never going to get your doctorate. You know what? You're never going to be able to go to college. You're never going to be able to buy a house. You know what? You're never going to be able to have children. We allow people all the time, or we don't allow them all the time, to speak into our life. That's on us, right? We have to, we got to start taking responsibility. Listen, I'll tell you what, I cannot do it for anyone else. I can only do it for me. My youngest sister had brain cancer and then breast cancer, and she's a survivor of both of those. My oldest sister got breast cancer that metastasized all over the place. And she's with the Lord right now. I'll never forget one morning as I was getting ready. I was caring for my oldest sister. And my niece was there. And I was getting ready for church. And my sister was sitting in the bed and her daughter was by her side. And she said, look at your Aunt Tamara. Isn't she beautiful? And then she said, she's the lucky one. What is she talking about? Well, she's talking about what's happened to my little sister concerning her health, and she's talking about what she's going through. And she says, she's the lucky one. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you. Do you think it's coincidence that I'm the one who knows my covenant? Many of my family receive the Lord, you know what, as their Savior. And I was the first one in my family. And many of my family have made that decision since me. I don't say, you know what, okay, that's because I'm lucky. Is it a coincidence that I'm the one that understands my covenant? Is it a coincidence that I'm the one that sold out to the Lord? Is it a coincidence that I know not to exalt somebody's words, you know what, over God's words in my life? See, they accepted him as Savior. And they're, you know what I mean, on a journey. But they're not like all in, like I'm all in. Do you understand that? And people try to get all in on the midnight hour. It's not a good way to go. I don't, you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. I don't know about all that. See, I don't need to figure all that out. Here's what I know. My God, whom I have a relationship with, showed up in mighty ways. Amen. Was right there with me through this whole situation with my oldest sister. The miraculous things that took place, we say, yeah, but she's not with you right now. I know that. I know that. Believe me, I know that. Can I explain? There's all kinds of things, you know what I mean, that I know. Can I explain that? Not really. But here's what I can explain. It wasn't for any lack on God's part. Here's how I end that journey with my sister here. I am so grateful that God was there for her every step of the way in all kinds of things. You know, life is tangled and complicated, you know? We want to just quick synopsis, and like that, as if, oh my gosh, I don't have the time to sit down and tell you all the details. Do you understand right now? Couldn't even go there. But here's what I know for a fact. I'm grateful beyond belief that God brought her here, ministered to her in a way that was just beautiful, ministered to me. I treasure that time that we had together. I'm so, listen, my sister spent the last months of her life absolutely knowing that she was loved. Absolutely knowing that. She used to just break down and just say, I love you so much, Tamara. And she would just be broken even by just the love. She was amazed at the miraculous things that took place. I mean, you just couldn't deny it. It was outstanding. Well, then how come she's not here? See, I don't know. But I know enough to know it's not because of a lack of God. And I'm not going to try and figure it all out. You know what? I can answer for me. And I'll answer for me. This, wow, that scripture, that by their words, they worshiped God. Oh my goodness, how we need to get a hold of that. That which we say, and you know what you say? You say what you think. If you're thinking it, it's in your heart, and if it's in your heart, it's coming out of your mouth. We need to get that what's coming from our mouth, if it's worship when I'm on point with the word, what is it when I'm not? Oh my goodness. That is a powerful scripture that we should just grab hold of. And you know what? I settled right after I lost my father, man. I settled. Listen, is never gone. Is never a lack of love, a lack of faithfulness to me, a lack of being there for me. Nope. And he'll explain one day what I can't explain. And I'll understand it one day. But I understand enough right now. You know why I understand enough right now? Because, man, I was all in with God on every one of those situations. And it's powerful. I could just talk your ear off till 10 o'clock and tell you all about the things that God did do and how miraculous they were. Don't forget that which we say, you know what, is worship. Wow, that was awesome.
We're going to dismiss you in just a couple moments, but before we do, we want to give you an opportunity. If something has been said that has gripped you and you feel like, man, I want to be like Jehoshaphat. I want to put my trust in God. I just feel like I've maybe even made excuses and not just been specific in my prayers, just not trusted God enough, whatever the application is. You know what? Something that is said touched you, and you want me to pray with you. You want to maybe even repent and say, that was wrong, and I want to make a change in that. I want to make a declaration that I'm changing how my thinking is. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you real quick. Father, you see the hands that are up. We pray, Father, we thank you for your teaching us. We pray, Father, I pray for these that will put our trust in you completely, 100%. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And then one more thing that is really, really important is, and we kind of made a change because God, I believe, gave us a direction that I don't want to close a service that I don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus in your heart. So in a minute, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm asking that you would repeat this after me and just ask Jesus in his heart, in your heart. He'll come and he'll change you from the inside out. If that's you, just say this after me. Jesus in heaven, I ask you to come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I don't want to make all the decisions in my life. I want you to be my decision maker. I want you to be my Lord. I thank you for Jesus Christ. I love you, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you did that, you know what? I would encourage you very strongly, find a good Bible-believing church. Let me try to think of one right now. Oh, yeah, Hope Community Church. Okay, I'd love if you'd make this your church. We have services on Sunday and Wednesday, and Tamara and I would love to be your pastors, but I want to give you that invitation right now. Then Tamara has a couple of announcements to make before she dismisses you. Please, please, if you're here for the first time, don't walk away that you don't go to our information table and get our free gift. Tamara?
Okay. All right. Just very quickly, in 2 weeks, which is October the 13th, from 8, it's a Saturday morning from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're having an all-church work day. So we ask that you come. There's something here for everyone. It's a ginormous facility, and we want to make sure we take care of it with honor and be good stewards over what God has given us. Amen. So 2 weeks, 8 to 1, we'll all be here. You can sign up for that at the Information Center. Please bring just your water bottle and whatever snacks if you want snacks. I don't know. Some of us need snacks. And then Academy of Righteousness is also in 2 weeks. That's on Sunday, right after the all-church workday. That very Sunday, we start Academy of Righteousness Level 1. That's our discipleship class. If you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, if you want to grow in your knowledge of the Bible, be sure you don't miss Academy Level 1. That's going to be on October the 14th, which is Sunday. It's 4 Sundays in a row right after church. We start at 2:30, and then you purchase your materials at the information table when you sign up. It's $25 for the MP3s, $40 for CDs, and then that's all your teachings that you take home during the week, and then you come in for your class each Sunday here. So they'll give you more information on that at the Information Center. Last but not least, we were supposed to have a barbecue chicken dinner, like the whole church, next Sunday. But I really don't know what's happening with that. Here's what I do know. I don't have my grill fixed yet. So the grill, you know how we barbecue the chicken and all that? The grill needs a weld. And so if anyone knows a welder who would be willing to weld our grill, or we need the grill fixed and we can move forward. So I texted Pastor Vegas after I saw this, and I was like, do I announce that or do I not announce that? Because I don't think the grill got fixed. And so we need the grill fixed. So first of all, come that maybe we're going to have some lunch next week. No, you're not sure about that. Come that we're going to maybe have some lunch next week and be ready for that. And you can check on the website or texting. I'll ask Pastor V to put something up there so you know whether or not to plan for it. And then that'll be barbecue chicken dinner next week, okay? And if you say, I will, I can fix it, no problem, then come see me after service, all right? And then we have Esperanza tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget about that with Pastor George and Lydia. Great to see them on the front row this morning. Okay, if you're here for the first time, please come introduce yourself to Pastor and myself. We'd like to say hello and just find out how you found the church, okay? We love you and God loves you. Have a great week this week. We'll see you Wednesday night for Bible study. You are dismissed.